Hello, friends and folks, and welcome back to Romance of the Two Networks. All the networks are represented in their full force here. I'm Six Detmar from Scanline Media.
I'm Jennifer Uncle from Scanline Media.
I'm Jackson Tyler from Abnormal Mapping.
And I'm Em, also from Abnormal Mapping.
I have great news, comrades.
Yes?
In the time since we last met, I successfully made the Yellow Scarf Rebellion succeed.
Oh, cool. What does China even look like if that happens?
It's so cool. It's really great because, like, one of the first things I did is I was just trying to make the North, like, chill. This is, by the way, in Total War Three Kingdoms Mandate of Heaven. And then fucking Schwanda was like, oh, I gotta stop these yellow scarves. I was like, uh-huh, motherfucker. And I went into battle with him. And one of my commanders, like, literally, like, voice-acted shout, is this the Lord of War? I am not impressed. And executed Guan Yu.
Hell,
and I was like,
yes.
Jesus Christ.
That's amazing.
And I was like, I guess I'll just keep at this, and just killed all of them the next turn.
I'm really here for Mirror Universe Romance of the Three Kingdoms, honestly.
And so I pushed my advantage. I convinced, who was it? I convinced Tao Qin to join the Yellow Scarf Rebellion.
Oh, hell yeah.
And then I marched on Dong Zhuo and took the Emperor. But because I'm the Yellow Scarves, everyone else, when you have the Emperor, you have a bunch of mechanics you can do, like force the Han to join you or whatever. Yellow Scarves can't do that, so I just had this kid. And I'm like, what the fuck do I do with this kid? and it just made everyone else more angry. So anyway, eventually I took over literally half of China, and it was like, okay, yep, you did it. Congratulations.
Good.
It was pretty cool.
Who's in the other half?
Well, I haven't successfully killed Cao Cao yet, and that's a problem.
Yeah, it is. I'll say.
Sun Qian is still around, but it's Jin. I'm not too worried about him. And then otherwise, it's mostly just scattered warlords that you don't remember, right? Like, it's like Ma Tang is down there. I'm not fucking worried about Ma Tang. Who cares? But yeah, there's no, like, superpower, but everyone hates me, so...
The other half of China hasn't, like, united in the face of...
They're not on paper, they're all at war with everyone, but the only person they ever attack is me, so they kind of have united.
Okay. Because if everyone just gives all their forces to Cao Cao, you're in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, then that's going to be a problem. And I've mentioned it before, but Cao Cao does have the mechanic where he can, like, create proxy wars by gossiping.
Good.
And actually, that's a big part of how I was able to take over, is because he started a proxy war between the Han and Dong Zhuo before Dong Zhuo betrayed them. And that was great for me.
So, that game seems really good.
It seems really good. I'm going to start looking into mods because after these chapters, I'm like, I wonder if I can get Lady Sun as a faction leader. She seems cool.
I'm surprised that you can't. She's like the biggest, most important woman in the book.
There's one woman leader in the game.
I assume I know who that is. You can play we as. Haven't met them yet, but I assume I know who that
you
is.
You don't.
I don't?
It's Zhang Liang, who is a character they invented.
Wait, so it's not...
She is the Bandit Queen.
Did they invent the Bandit Queen? I was thinking of... There are things later in this book that I don't remember, but there's one woman who actually goes into battle, and I thought that was her in the game, but you know. Anyway.
There are NPC factions that for some reason, there are a couple, I think, NPC factions that are ruled by ladies, but you can't play as them for some reason. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Or maybe I'm just stupid and can't navigate menus. That's also possible.
Yeah, I've just forgotten the specifics of all these millions of characters.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
I've stalled enough of listening. What else has other Three Kingdoms news we can get into our summaries?
No, I have joined Jen in watching Red Cliffs. Half of us have watched it, half of us haven't.
apparently, Zheng Jiang is from Records of the Three Kingdoms, which is the historical book.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yes. So she does kind of exist, just not in the book we're reading.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's interesting, because the way they presented her in like, the way the developers presented her was like, we needed a bandit lady, so we made her up. I don't know, maybe I'm...
Apparently, there's some question in historical record whether she was one person or two people in history. That's
I see.
So
okay. Well, she's sick as hell in this. There's a lot of stuff. I mentioned this in one of my articles, but one of the first experiences that I had with her, because there is like voice dialogue between officers in battle. And as I went into battle against, like, the Han, one of the Han officers was like, have you no shame? And she was like, why, should I? And then killed him. And I was like, yeah. Anyway, chapter 55. Xuanda incites Lady Sun to flee the south. Kongming riles Zhou Yu for the second time. I would say more than the second time, but okay.
He's been riling him.
Mm-hmm. Xuanda and Lady Sun consummate their marriage. Sun Quan and Zhou Yu try to figure out how to salvage their seduction scheme gone wrong, and decide it best to keep Xuanda the south by trapping him with luxury so that distance grows between him and his men. Xiao Jilong opens up Kong Ming's second scheme bag, which tells him to bring Xuanda back to Jingzhou under the pretense of an incoming Cao Cao attack. Lady Sun agrees to come with Xuanda, and shouts down repeated attempts by Sun Quan to stop her and Xuanda. Seeing his latest scheme fail, Xiao Yu rages, reopening his old wound in anger. What did his fate read on?
I don't know. I mean, I do.
We all know.
We all know. Kong Ming says, die mad. here's a big hypothetical question before we get into all the stuff. Is Xiao Zilong didn't save the baby way back in when Liu Bei was escaping the attack from Cao Cao, would this work?
Why?
Because then his kid would just be a, it would be the, like, the marriage alliance would be like real, and the next when Liu Bei dies, then it would be like a Southland, like, the you know what I mean, like, the marriage alliance doesn't work if there's already a son, because it has to go to the oldest son.
Oh, I see what you mean, because, like, the reason that the Southland has a problem with this is because there's already an heir.
I mean, they don't talk about that explicitly in the book, but I was thinking about it, and I thought, I bet if the son wasn't already in the picture, they could just go with this.
I mean, they don't want him in their business, right? Like, the whole thing is that they can't stand Liu Bei and everything he stands for. The South aren't, like, thinking clearly. They're petty.
That's true. That's true. I mean, Sun Quan wouldn't be, like, he would have been against this because he's just mad. Because
if they were pragmatic at all, they would just align with him and stomp Cao Cao already and be done with it. But that has not been how things have gone.
No, it has all fallen apart.
It feels a lot like, I don't know, the pettiness of the South here in, like, I'm a stupid person, so I'm going to make a reference to fighting games, right? Sometimes you're playing a fighting game and you're like, man, it would be really cool if I could land this move, right? And it doesn't fucking work and you get your ass beat, but you spend the rest of the match trying to land that move because you liked the idea.
Sure. Unfortunately, they're up against, like, the boss who's cheating. So, you know, what are you going to do?
Yes.
No. Yeah. It's just fucking, like, let Jingzhou go for now, but they can't.
Yeah.
I like all the Jingzhou stuff because it's bad. What they have done is bad.
yeah.
Like, this is, like, against all their stated principles, right? All this stuff is good to me as just, like, once you get into, like, the idea that you are going to build a nation from nothing on the top of another nation, but because you are technically better at ruling it or whatever, there's no way to do that honorably. I think that this book is a good demonstration of this. Like, there's no way to make that pretty. So in order to get power, Liu Bei has to betray people and be like, and act like shit. Like, there's no other way around it. He can only be cool when he is, like, be nice when he is losing.
I would suggest in these chapters, he isn't even being a shit properly.
Well, Kongming's handling that. Liu Bei doesn't have the tactical mind.
No, you know who's actually running this kingdom is Kongming, as Liu Bei sits on his ass and runs to his advisor with any problem, no matter how small.
And in these three chapters, we don't get a like, is this even really Xuanda, or is this an imposter? Because we haven't gotten a single, I can't do that, it's dishonorable. Which is the only thing I've ever seen him say that sounds like Xuanda.
I mean, he's got over that now. He is pretty clearly in the thing of, we are going to do this, we're going to make the we're going to build from Kongming's plan to, you know, restore.
Wei is doing a lot of lifting here.
I'm just saying, this is fucking, like, Haman Karn has swapped out the princess at this point.
I don't know. I feel like the development of Liu Bei from someone who would, like, deliberately lose a battle because of all the people with him, who he cares for more than whatever, to someone who is just going to, all right, we have to, I'm just going to listen to Kongming. He's going
to. Yeah, he's not, we have to anything. We have to listen to this guy who's got all the ideas as he waffles and despairs at any problem. And he's just turned to the people he's defeated. Like, well, yeah. He is now in his middle age and he sucks now. He's a coward.
Mm-hmm. And we're also to the point in the book where, well, it's been like this for a little bit, but it's been happening so often that it just feels like Kongming is reading ahead in the book. Like, it's the point where he guesses that the right thing to do within the third bag will be, okay, well, the second bag is, okay, lie to your new wife, and then the third bag is, oh, come clean to your new wife and she'll be okay with it.
Yeah, the part where he's just written down, here's the plan, and they're not, like, broad tactical ideas of, okay, so when you do this, then Sasa will do this, and then...
No, it is, they're doing the prestige every time, like, yes, Hongming's so, just on one.
He's just, like, activated developer console.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
It makes them hard to root for because it's just not, like, they're not struggling, they just win all the time.
I don't think I am big Liu Bei, Kongming, my favorite characters, I guess, question mark. But when I first read the book, it wasn't rooting for that. I feel like they're pretty, like, tragic characters in this. In terms of, like, Liu Bei, honorable guy, starts out, we're gonna restore the hand, and literally, like I said, just has to become the shittiest leader because that's how you make things happen. Because without it, he just wouldn't have any power. Without listening to Kongming, he'd be nothing.
Yeah. In that instance, like, Kongming should rule, or I'm back to rooting for Cao Cao.
I know there's no way it happens. This is not the book, but, like, if Kongming actually was like, you know what, actually...
He doesn't want to rule anything. Like, that's the thing. Like,
yeah, he wants to go home.
It's the part where he's just, like, the invincible, like, straw man victory button that is frustrating in these chapters. I need complications that arise from Kongming failing at something, and it hasn't happened yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It is definitely frustrating, especially as you, like, read a book week to week, right? Like,
yes,
wanting it to be interesting at a moment to end. But I think it does.
Yes, I want drama to be in the novel, right? Like,
but I think it makes, like, the book is written with such an intense voice, explaining who it thinks is the good guys. But because it's so intense, it works against it. Like, these chapters make Zhao Yu really easy to root for as, like, a tragic hero fighting against this fucking boss who has cheated reality.
Yes.
Making me team Zhao Yu over here in a way that when he was trying to murder Kongming with the arrow
and
plan, he
wasn't. And then, I mean, we'll get to it, but the Wei in which that goes down, they also just gloat over the fact that they've crushed this hero, and that part sucks a lot, too.
Yes. Yeah.
So chapter 56, Cao Cao feasts at Bronzebird Tower. Kongming rails Zhou Yu for a third time. Once again, definitely more than a third time. Zhou Yu heads home and convinces Sun Quan to send a messenger to Cao Cao, asking him to appoint Xuanda protector of Jingzhou in order to keep Cao Cao from getting involved. Meanwhile, Cao Cao hosts a sick party at the now-completed Bronzebird Tower with contests of skill and knowledge, and laments that he sadly has to remain in charge of all of China because if he retired, people would try to kill him. Sun Quan's messenger arrives, but Cao Cao sees through the plan and doesn't play ball. In the south, Zhou Yu plots anew to seize Jingzhou. He tries sending Lu Su again, but again, Kongming convinces Lu Su that it would be dishonorable to force the issue. He returns to Zhou Yu, and Zhou Yu tells him to return to Xuanda, saying that Zhou Yu will send an army through, and if Xuanda can resupply them, they'll capture the Riverlands and present them to Xuanda as a dowry. This is actually a scheme to kill Xuanda, and Kong Ming immediately sees through it. When Zhou Yu shows up, Xuanda is not there. What's going on? Read on.
I have to say, Cao Cao, everyone's like, oh, Cao Cao will be driven by revenge. He'll be plotting. And Cao Cao's like kicking back with a barbecue going, look, I would love to just go and be a scholar in the woods, but I can't. You just look at the situation. I just can't. If I gave this all up, you'd all be taken over. So I have to do this for the good of everyone. Do you think I want to be emperor? Of course I want to be emperor. I've left the emperor alive. I could kill him anytime. I haven't. Obviously, I'm a good guy.
That whole archery scene is so wild too. Like, it immediately starts with someone hitting the bullseye, and then people keep riding up being like, I can do better than that, and they start doing things like behind the back arrow tricks and shit like that, until eventually it devolves into people wrestling in the mud over this this battle gown. And when it gets ripped to shreds, Cao Cao's just like, well, yeah, I don't really care about that. You just entertain me.
Turns out Cao Cao didn't actually care about the random robe. He just wanted to see people do cool tricks, and he got what he wanted.
You are all members of the Live Mask mentality. Because what he basically says, everyone's riding together with this robe because they all did a sick as hell arrow. He's like, it's just a fucking robe, guys. You're all kings. You're all kings to me.
I am really torn here because with Cao Cao, like, so I am the historic Cao Cao defender. I still like this character a lot. And like, he's clearly kind of full of shit. Yes. When he's like, gosh, it's such a bummer that I have to rule all of China. But also, like, I don't know, there is a certain extent to which he clearly does just kind of want to, like, sit back and have a barbecue. He just wants to do it while ruling all of China.
I mean, yeah, if Liu Bei is in his 50s, then Cao Cao is probably, like, in his 60s, right? Like, he's pushing it, he's older, and there isn't anyone who could take his place. Everyone would be worse at this job than he is. He's also a contemptible villain. He's just fun to root for because he's always extra. Like, he's the antihero in like a modern sense. Like there's a reason he is popular, is because he is fits the modern sensibility of someone you root for despite their better nature, because he's fun. There's nothing fun about Liu Bei needing Kong Ming to tell him to cry as Kong Ming like comes in and assuages his lord. That part sucks. Like, it's not fun. It's bad.
I think maybe the sickest dunk in this entire book is when, after Xuanda starts crying and Kong Ming is like, oh, he's just really worried about how dishonorable this would be, the book says, Lu Su, the soul of generosity and benevolence, which is like, damn. This book thinks this guy's a fucking idiot.
I don't know if that's true. The book plays it pretty straight, I feel like.
Every time Lu Su shows up, he shows up with a job to do, and they tell him not that he shouldn't do his job, and then he goes home and gets yelled at by his boss. That's happened like 10 times.
I mean, the problem is Lu Su is actually the nicest person, will believe what he's told and be generous, and he's a negotiator for like a war.
Yeah, I don't think the book, and I also don't think he's a bad guy. I think he's all right. He's just like the worst possible choice for this job.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's something that happens in the next chapter that makes me think the book thinks pretty poorly of Lu Su. But we'll get into that when we get into that.
Mm-hmm. Because we get a very long chapter summary for chapter 57 where way too much happens. Chapter 57, Sleeping Dragon mourns Zhou Yu at Chaisong. Young Phoenix takes office at Leiyang. Zhou Yu gets a note from Kong Ming insincerely explaining that this is because Kong Ming is concerned Zhou Yu will fail in this invasion, and he simply worries for the Southland advisor. Zhou Yu, sighing, admits he's been outsmarted again, and declares that he's so stressed out he's gonna die. He writes one last letter to Sun Quan, then perishes. Per the letter's recommendation, Sun Quan appoints Lu Su as chief commander. Kong Ming travels to Chaisong to offer condolences for Zhou Yu's passing, and is so passionate and eloquent he convinces people in attendance that Zhou Yu didn't hate his guts. Pang Tong is not fooled, however, and the two have a good laugh about it after the fact. Before parting, Kong Ming offers Pang Tong a job in the north should the Southland fail to make use of him. The Southland fails to make use of Pang Tong, and so he heads to Jingzhou, and Xuanda also misinterprets his talents and sends him off to govern a small city. Pang Tong neglects his duties and turns to drink. When Zhang Fei shows up to chew him out, Pang Tong fixes everything in mere moments, awing Zhang Fei. Zhang Fei brings Pang Tong back to Xuanda, singing Pang Tong's praises. Xuanda sees the error of his ways and rewards him properly. Meanwhile, Cao Cao decides to deal with Ma Tang before moving on Xuanda and Sun Quan. Ma Tang tries to leverage the opportunity to kill Cao Cao, but one of his co-conspirators blabs to a concubine, and Cao Cao kills him. Miao Ji was part of selling Ma Tang out and asks for a lady in payment for his betrayal. Cao Cao is annoyed at him for being so stupid and petty and kills him for it. One of his advisors offers a plan to deal with the South. What is it? Read on.
Also, everyone's aghast that he kills this guy. This is the right thing to do.
Yeah, no, that guy sucks so bad.
That is why he's fun to root for, because he goes, "You're fucking, you did this for what? Kill that guy! Kill him now!" What are you even doing? Wasting my time with this?
Who's this other guy? Pang Tong, that's his name, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
This guy fucking sucks.
Uh-huh.
I hate him so much. Everything about him and Kong Ming, just like what mystical advisors are in this world, like they just annoy me so much now. Like, they're always right, but they have to do it in the shittiest, most arrogant way possible, and with little disregard for others, and I just hate it. I'm just over it. It's not fun anymore.
Especially when it gets to this stuff, right? And it's the things are cards are on the table. We know who the people who are always going to win are, because this book is not shy about how it books people. It's definitely although it is an argument for this Neo-Confucian ideal of trying to present yourself humbly and serve your lord well, etc., etc., it just makes everyone look extremely insincere, because in private they're like, "That guy, he's a fucking sucker who couldn't tie his shoes. He sucks. I hate him and he should be dead." And then in public they're always like, I could not do anything. You ask this of me. I have such meager abilities. And Kong Ming does this all the time, but he is risen by law to win every battle at all times.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So it just makes him seem like the meanest full of shit guy.
Yes. Kong Ming going to pay respects to Zhou Yu, and then someone pulling him aside "Look, I know you fucking killed that guy," and laughed about it. I can't believe the gall that you'd come here and make a speech about how good of a hero he was. And he's right. But then that guy also just laughs about it. He's like, "That's great. It's great that we're pulling one over on all these lords who think that we believe this shit." I hate him.
Yeah, no, that scene would have, it works for me in the way that I fucking hate this guy.
Yes.
It's effective. But if that scene had ended with Shouyu being, or Kong Ming being like, "No, I did what I had to," but Shouyu was actually a respectable dude. I wasn't being completely insincere there. It'd be like, okay.
The thing is,
no, he's just a fucking asshole.
I'm not sure how much the book knows that they are just assholes. It presents it so just matter-of-factly that this is what they're doing. And because, partially this is because it's based on historical record and not a novel, but because they don't have any comeuppance for these things, it's does the book know that what they're doing is the most contemptible shit in this book so far? In terms of being morally affronted by people's worldview. People have done eviler things, but far less mean than this stuff is.
Well, especially when when looking at this book as a historical text, it is often because it is an important text released at a time where it was pushing forward what a kind of worldview should be for this level of person in society in China. That is a part of what the book means to the world.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting digging through that stuff. I think it's a little more, because the part where Xiaoyu dies is good for me, because this is the most we do Gundam every week, but the most Gundam thing in this book so far is Xiaoyu just getting so fucking mad before he dies. Why does Kong Ming have to exist? Because I think he says if I could be in this world, why must you also mark Kong Ming here or something?
Yes,
but it's definitely a most that's the line where it gets very deliberate about the just unjust nature of the fact that all of this is ordained, because that's a theme of the book. The book's about Heaven's Mandate, that is true, and so when it comes to someone who is clearly of good ability, clearly a good strategist, was vital in Red Cliff, just getting owned because that is what is going to happen, and like knowing that that's basically true. I think that that, like, I think the book's aware of that stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
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 The funeral scene is also where I definitely think that the book views views Lusu poorly, because after Kong Ming gives that whole funeral speech, the obituary, that's the eulogy, obituary is written, okay. But yeah, after the whole eulogy, even Lusu, who was aware of every time that Kong Ming had punked him, is like, man, we should have been more trusting of this guy. Like, no, you go in and out of there every time and get tricked every single time, and you seem to be aware of it. But suddenly he gives a moving speech for your dead boss, and suddenly he's the greatest. Like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah. It does seem like I with respect to Zhou Yu, I mean, and you know, history is history, I guess, you know, whatever, but like, appointing, saying like, hey, you should make Lusu chief commander seems like a pretty bad idea. I like Lusu. I don't think his merits are necessarily being a ruthless strategist.
Who else is there? South's not looking great these days.
Sure, but they could, you know, I mean, I don't know. They could have made someone up, right? They could have been like, oh, but there's, you know, this scholar so-and-so from this other city.
Well, yes,
right?
No, the book, like, in a book, anything can happen.
Sure.
But I don't know if, given the things that have been established, I don't know what else you do. Yeah.
I guess that's
for
true.
For Southland. Sucks to be them.
Yeah.
Maybe they should build a coalition with one of the other factions instead of constantly fighting both fronts at the same time.
Well, imagine the reality. We talked about how these fucking, like, arrogant, like, brilliant advisors. Imagine the reality where instead of Kong Ming, Xuanda's advisor was Mihang.
I don't know what that really changes, other than Kong Ming's, like, booked better.
I just think it'd be funny.
Oh yeah.
instead of these scenes in private where fucking Kong Ming's like, here's what we're gonna do, Mihang would spend most of the time talking about how Xuanda sucks and then end with a great plan. But anyway, then we have the whole Pang Tong debacle, which continues this narrative of how much this dude fucking sucks.
Yes.
Because he does the thing that I guess they're supposed to do, right? Where he's like, oh, I don't really have that many talents. And people just take him at his word because they don't know who the fuck he is. And they're like, oh, if you don't have that many talents, I guess I'll let you govern a city, which seems pretty generous to me.
The thing is,
and he's like,
Liu Bei spent 20 years saying, I don't have many talents, to give him a small, like, place to govern. And then he does a fucking great job of it. Like, that's the Liu Bei that we stan. Where is that guy?
Yeah.
He is 25 years in the past.
I know. But now he sucks and everyone else sucks too. I'm mad at everyone.
So Pang Tong goes to the city and he's like, well, clearly this is below my fucking level, so I'm just going to sit around and drink all day. That'll show him that they clearly underestimated my skill. And then, yeah, fixes everything in order to show up Zhang Fei, which is a nice consolation for all the people who were suffering in the meantime while you refused to do your job.
And this is seen as like the brilliant strategy that he has done. Like, the honorable thing is to sit until someone shows up to watch him be extravagant and cool, and then do one day of cool work and then walk into a better position.
It is the anti, like you said, the complete opposite of everything about the Liu Bei is meant to stand for, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And it's worth noting the backlog, because he solves 100 days' issues in a single day. That means that for over 3 months, he was just sitting there letting things go awry. That's not... You can't just fix all of that in a day, even if you get all the paperwork done. You still put people through 3 months of hell.
Yep.
Yeah, especially as, like, the thing that is good about Xuanda, right? Like, it doesn't come up in the plot much, but it is ostensibly the reason he is a person we are meant to root for is nothing to do with how he's like engaging in these battles. It is because he treats the people he is in charge of well. That is the actual admiral thing about him throughout the book. And so having this guy just like ignore that completely is such a fucking spit in the face. And then he gets rewarded anyway, because where has Lube gone? What is he paying attention to? Nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's also like, I mean, he's such a, you know, he had two letters of introduction and he was like, I'm just not going to use them. And it's like, you made things worse for everyone because of this. What a stupid asshole. Meanwhile, we got Cao Cao dealing with Ma Tang, who... So, do we have history with Ma Tang? I don't remember this dude.
I think he appeared in some of the plots before regarding the secret decree that the Emperor hid in his robe, and he escaped at some point, but they didn't. It didn't feel like they lingered on him as much as they linger on him in this chapter.
Okay, because he just seems like... Every idiot who's ever been summoned by Cao Cao and gone, we can probably use this to kill Cao Cao. Which never works. Spoilers.
Oh yeah, he is part of the plot, so.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, okay. Just forgetting him because he hasn't been relevant for such a long time.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, this is just a, I don't know, it's such a... I don't know. I genuinely don't know how so many people can think that, like, okay, I'm being summoned by Cao Cao, this is my chance. It's never your chance. It's his turf. And then, of course, you got Miao Zhi, who sells everyone out because he's like, I want to get that lady. Because he's a fucking idiot.
And then Cao Cao, the hero of the chapter, just murdering him. Thank you. Yeah. Finally, there is justice in the universe, and it is this guy getting fucking owned.
Ugh, fuck that guy. Ugh. So I'm officially ready for the Southland to die.
I would like them to just stand up a little bit and get their druthers about them and do something. The problem with the Southland is, especially with Zhou Yu gone, there's no one here to root for.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I could root for Lu Su. It's just, it seems like a wasted rooting.
I just don't care about that guy. I just don't give a shit.
He seems really nice. He's just booked about as badly as anyone in this book.
I like all this post-Redcliffe stuff when everything's just a mess. like, you know, I really like the book. I read it very quickly, so I didn't get to, like, stew with the things being like this every week. But I do think this, like, it's good. Because it definitely becomes much more about... after Redcliffe, it's clearly become much more about the way the things end up balancing rather than the way that anyone's individual quests are going. Because initially it's all about Cao Cao trying to take over everyone, but now it's about, like, okay, there are three powers of kind of, you know, there are three kingdoms in the book's called Three Kingdoms. How, and they're all trying to win, but there's three of them. How does that work? How does that balance? And it's always just a weird mix of, it becomes very, I don't know what the word is, but it becomes just a very, like, good materialism, I guess, in terms of just this thing affects this thing, and then this thing fucks over this other thing, and no one's, like, decided to have any of this happen, but it all collapsed in each other. There's just a lot going on. It's good.
Yeah, I never like it when... I like it when two, like, relative equals are matching, are squaring off, and stuff's happening. Or, you know, three. That's good, too. But, like, in these chapters, it's like the Southland's incompetent, and Cao Cao's, you know, fucking having a 4th of July party.
Yeah, that's what happens when, like, you are in control of the one that's winning.
Sure, and I respect that, but it doesn't make for great reading when it's, yeah, as we've said, just Kong Ming, you know, just kicking everyone's asses and then laughing about how much they suck.
I would like to iterate here that this is not me saying the book is bad, this is me saying that I think all these characters deserve to die, and they will, so it's fine.
Yeah, no, it's just very sad. Fair. It's just a sad and shitty thing. You're just looking at the history of politics, right? Like, this is the world.
I'm just ready for someone to make Kong Ming work for it, I guess.
Yeah, no, that guy is the top of my villains list. I feel like it's happened over the last like couple weeks, but this week really just put a pin in it. I'm ready for Kong Ming to go. He sucks. He's got go home heat where even when he's coming on and he's supposed to suck, I just want him to get out of this book. Get out of here. Stop with your schemes.
Can't argue.
Well,
indeed.
We're almost halfway. Next week is the halfway mark. We're not even halfway.
Oh, man. Remember fucking Yuan Shao?
No.
Good answer. All right. Well, I guess we're ready to take it to our plug zone here. Whoever wants to go first, feel welcome.
I guess I'll go. I'm Headfulsoff on twitter.com. You can find the other podcasts that me and M do at abnormalmapping.com. There's a whole bunch of them there. They're good podcasts.
Yeah, if you'd like to support us, you can do that at patreon.com/normalmapping. For $1, you get Great Gundam Project every Wednesday. We talk through G Gundam and Ghost in the Shell. One of those is really good, one of those is not. You can figure out which one's which. Also, we're not going to be doing this in 2 weeks. We're going to take a week off. I feel like we should give people a heads up on that.
Yeah, good call.
Yeah. Me and Jackson need a break from all of our podcasts.
Just from working all the way through every seven, all the weekend. Well, you seven days, me weekend. I don't have a day job.
Yeah, I don't. I don't have a day off ever, so I'm excited for a weekend.
Yep. Well,
Jennifer.
So you can find me at JBU3 on Twitter. Most of my stuff lives on scanlinemedia.com or patreon.com/scanlinemedia. We recently restarted Novel Not New, a True End podcast over at readinggames.online. We had a mini episode there on Dizzy Hearts, and next we're going to be doing 80 Days, so that'll be fun.
Yeah, and then for me, I'm over at 6detmar, S-A-X-D-E-T-T-M-A-R. All the same stuff as Jen, basically. I guess I will shout out that we've just got done with all of our Game of the Year stuff. We have 7 Game of the Year podcasts, because we did every category as its own award, just so we could separate them out. And then we also have 2 lists. We have my list and Jen's list. Personal lists. And so yeah, if you want to think about 2019 a bit, it's a good time because it's over.
I don't want to think about 2019 a little bit, sorry, but I that's a good podcast,
very fair though. Thank you. Dragon Quest Builders 2 got robbed.
People like that game. What I mean is,
it's great.
Well, why'd it get robbed?
Because it's Curie played the demo and didn't think it was very good.
Oh, well.
Yeah, you'll get to hear all that on the, it'll be up by the time this goes up, the Game of the Year podcast, where I also get dunked on a few times. That was pretty fun.
that's Jen on any podcast. I get dunked on, it was fun. But until next time, folks. Fuck Kong Ming.
All right, that's it. No read on this time.